You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, this is a special message for pharmacy owners interested in providing more value to your patients while seeing consistently higher revenues and higher margins. I'm talking about the Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack. The UltiGuard Safe Pack provides 100 premium pen needles and a sharps container all in one for the same copay for your patients as pen needles alone. With Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack, you're doing more for your patients and more for your pharmacy's bottom line. Check it out for yourself. Go to UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. That's UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. And let us know what you think. And as always, thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Welcome to the Income Outcome Show, a podcast publication part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Income Outcome Show is dedicated to pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, pharmacy students, and all pharmacy professionals interested in maximizing their income and providing insights into living a financially free lifestyle.
Waypoint Strategic Advisors, LLC is not affiliated with or endorsed by any government agency and are not engaged in the practice of law. Content should not be viewed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned or as legal or tax advice. You should always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation.
And now here are your hosts of the Income Outcome Show, Ben Coakley with Waypoint Strategic Advisors and Joe Castleman with Pharmacist Financial.
Hey everybody, Ben Coakley here with the Income Outcome Show. I'm here with my partner in crime, Joe Castleman. Say hi, Joe.
How's everybody doing today?
Awesome, awesome. We have a special guest host. He happens to be the second best looking Coakley brother. So Matt, what are you up to today, Matt?
I am hanging out in my house under quarantine.
So awesome.
Staying home and staying safe.
Hashtag COVID life, right?
That's right.
Awesome. We have an awesome guest today on our show. We have Congressman Buddy Carter from Georgia's 1st District, which if you're looking at a map, is the coast of Georgia. You got the whole coast there, Buddy. Is that right?
That is correct. The entire coast of Georgia, starting up at the South Carolina state line, going all the way down to the Florida state line, over 100 miles of pristine coastline.
Nice. Yeah, great golf.
Yes.
If you're if you love golf, man, you can't go wrong going down there. Especially all you snowbirds listening. Winter, go down and play some golf. So today we're going to be talking about the future of pharmacy. What's going on in Washington? Kind of how those things are working together and the opportunities that we have now with this COVID pandemic. And it's kind of a unique time, Buddy. And with everything going on, I mean, do you agree with that?
Oh, no question about it. None of us have ever seen anything like this before or experienced anything like this before. This invisible enemy, as we refer to it as, and it has been an adjustment, and let's face it, life will never be the same. We will, just like post 9/11, this is going to be different. Now, having said that, I will tell you that my hope, having being from the South, my hope is that we get back into handshakes and hugs, because I enjoy that so much. But the reality is that it is going to be different. It's going to be a different world when we get back, and we will get back, and we'll get back to some normalcy, but it'll be a different normal.
Yeah, yeah, and for us, we're all Southern boys on this, as you can tell from our accent. So hugging and shaking hands, saying yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and all that. It is. We're
sweet tea and apple pie.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how things shake out. And you know, guys, we've been talking a lot about creating hope and creating a future, 10 years of prosperity for pharmacy, and particularly community pharmacy. I know, Buddy, you have some roots in community pharmacy. And I think one of the things that we have to come to the realization is that community pharmacy is under attack right now, and there are a lot of forces and pressures lined up against it. And we've been talking about it at Waypoint. We've been talking about it's not the future of pharmacies on the line, but it's also the future of these communities that these pharmacies serve, because they play an unbelievable role in the vitality of the communities. Buddy, what are your thoughts on that?
No question about it. I've always said, and I continue to say, that pharmacists are the most accessible healthcare professionals out there. In the United States, they are the most accessible. 90% of all Americans live within 5 miles of a pharmacy. Now, that is extremely important. It's important in urban areas, but it's even more important in the rural areas. In our rural areas, sometimes the pharmacist is the only healthcare professional for miles. And that in and of itself is something we should take note of. So, you know, I've always said that again, pharmacists are the most accessible healthcare professionals around.
Yeah, that's really important. Joe, you mentioned something on our pre-programming work that we were doing for this podcast about pharmacists right now, community pharmacists in particular, aren't getting any love from
people. The staff pharmacists. Buddy, I work with a lot of the staff, and, you know, they know that they're valued intrinsically because they're dedicated to the profession, but their morale is starting to go a little sideways. And sometimes it's, hey, they're not getting recognized as being on the front line, you know? And so one of the questions that we have is, how do you see the future of healthcare as pharmacists on the front line? What are they going to be doing differently that they're not doing now? And hopefully we can get them to do.
Well, being an older pharmacist, if you will, that, you know, I will tell you, the more recent graduates, and certainly the graduates now, are so clinically oriented. I mean, they are far superior to what we were when we graduated. And I think that is the key, because the counseling, making sure that, as we just mentioned, and I just mentioned, the fact that pharmacists are the most accessible healthcare professionals out there. They play an important role in healthcare delivery services in our country. And that clinical aspect of it is so vitally important and so very important. Take, for instance, what we're going through right now with this COVID-19 pandemic. You know, here we have pharmacists who are disseminating information, who are healthcare resources for people who otherwise perhaps wouldn't get that kind of information. And absolutely, even the staff pharmacists, that is extremely important, and the role that they play is extremely important. The key, people depend on us. People depend on pharmacists, and they depend on them, yes, for their drug information, but they also depend on them a lot just for healthcare information.
Yeah, and buddy, I think that's a great point there. I read something the other day, it was a thank you letter to pharmacists for keeping people that normally may have gone to the hospital or to the emergency room out of the emergency rooms I kept wondering like how many people did pharmacists save by taking the lead in that person's healthcare and keeping them, you know, out of or using resources that can be used for this COVID-19 pandemic. So absolutely, I think it's huge. Buddy, the big question is, you know, how do we move from where we are, where we know the value that they create, they're the most accessible healthcare professional, to getting paid and for the value that they're creating? I mean, are you guys working on stuff? Is this COVID-19? You know, are people in Congress and our senators, are they more aware now of what pharmacists are doing?
They are more aware, and this has given us, I hate to refer to it as this, but it's really given us a platform to really be able to educate members of Congress on how important pharmacists and the services that they render are to the general public. Right now, we're working on provider status. We've been working on provider status for a long time, but we really had the opportunity to show that, particularly with the testing, the COVID-19 testing, and having the opportunity to show that, look, the pharmacists are in an ideal position to provide this service. And if we can provide this service, we need to be compensated for it, though. And that's the key. And we are working on that. And we're actually close to getting that done, close to being able to get CMS to to recognize pharmacists for the values that they are giving in those services and to be able to compensate pharmacists for administering those tests. And that's extremely important. We've been working, and you've probably seen some of the press conferences at the White House with the Coronavirus Task Force, where they've CVS and Walgreens and some of the bigger companies, they've said we're working with them to try to get them to assist us. Well, we carry that on to just community pharmacists as well, because, yeah, it's important for the chains to be involved, but it's important for the community pharmacists to be involved as well, because the chains aren't everywhere, but we in the community are everywhere.
Yeah, buddy, and I think that's an important distinction. Community pharmacies, we appreciate everything that pharmacies in general do, but in particular community pharmacies and how they're plugged into the communities that they serve. You know, they're the second to none. You can't replace, you can't duplicate that. They're there. They know the people. They know the patients. They know when somebody hasn't come in to get their meds. They can call them and say, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, and that's what's at stake here with this and what you guys are doing in Washington. And we commend you for that. Go ahead, Matt.
We do. Yeah, I think that's a good segue into another question that I wanted to ask Congressman, about the DIR letter that I refer to as the Buddy Carter DIR letter. Can you touch on that, where that stands in terms of DIR fees right now?
Sure. That's another good point, because one of the points that I've been trying to make to my colleagues, and I've been successful in making, because remember, I serve on the Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee, and this has been brought up. We have direct jurisdiction over Health and Human Services as well as CMS. So I brought it up. You know, here we have healthcare professionals like pharmacists who are literally risking their own health in order to provide healthcare services to others, to citizens. And yet here we have this DIR in place that 6 months, a year from now, they're going to claw back these revenues from the pharmacists and essentially put them out of business. I mean, that's ridiculous. And it's ludicrous. And it's probably the best example of just how egregious this is, and that we have been successful in that. Right now, as of this morning, we have 104 signatures on that, Republicans and Democrats. We have dozens of Democrats on it as well. So that's very important to keep in mind. This is bipartisan. These issues are not Republican versus Democrat, but they are bipartisan, and we have to continue to have that grassroots effort of reaching out to the members of Congress to let them know just how important this is. We're trying to get them suspended during the pandemic, but we want to do even more than that. We want to have them suspended and have transparency and have them eliminated. And I think that we're working in that direction.
And buddy, the suspension part, the temporary suspension, if you will, is that kind of modeled after or similar to like the CARES Act suspending student loan payments? Is it kind of the idea that during the pandemic, let's have some relief, and then your hope obviously is to continue beyond that period? Is that correct?
You're exactly right. Yeah. And we're trying to do it right now through passing legislation through unanimous consent. Now, I think Congress is getting a little fatigued with unanimous consent after we spent almost $3 trillion essentially through unanimous consent. So I don't know how much more unanimous consent we're going to see out of this Congress anyway, but we are trying to get it passed. And if we can do that, then of course it would be suspended during the pandemic, but we're going one step further. And that is, we're trying to get it eliminated permanently and actually have some allies in CMS and HHS that are helping us in that goal.
Yeah. And buddy, that's huge to hear. I mean, that's uplifting. I know a lot of our guys and ladies are sitting there in this DIR issue, and it is absolutely just, it's killing their spirit. The joy of being a pharmacist and a pharmacy owner is being robbed from them by the system, this loophole, this DIR loophole that's being really abused at this point. And what's amazing to me is when I talked to them, and they said, how can CMS and HHS sit around and know that we, as an independent pharmacy community, the access to the care I mean, it blows their minds, buddy, that they feel like they're not being heard in this. And I mean, thoughts on that?
Well, you're right. I mean, we've seen it and we know what's going on. We've seen what's happened since 2013. In 2013, the IR fees were around $230 million. Well, now in 2019, they're up to $9.1 billion. That's how much they've grown. And you know how the PBMs do this. You know that they set benchmarks. They set goals that are constantly changing. And it's impossible for us to meet those goals, especially during a pandemic. It's impossible to meet them, but it's impossible to meet them anyway. And what you're seeing is you're seeing over 2,000 pharmacies that have closed in the last 2 years. Almost 4% of all pharmacies nationwide have closed, community pharmacies nationwide have closed in the last 4 years.
You wonder how many are on the verge of, you know, could be three times that.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, Joe, I mean, there's a lot that are teetering. There's a lot hanging in the balance.
I mean, we know some that have pulled out of their 401ks just to keep the business afloat.
Yeah, you
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think that's a good segue. So our company is trying to work with pharmacy owners to build what we call the pharmacy of 2030. Essentially, we help them try to look past today, which a lot of pharmacy owners are having a hard time doing with PBMs and DIR fees. But buddy, I just wanted to ask you what you think the role of the community pharmacy is going to be. You mentioned accessibility, but as we move forward, any thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. Again, I think it's going to be very important. And keep in mind, even though we haven't really gotten to it this Congress, and even though we've been so all-consumed with the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, healthcare and healthcare reform is a big discussion that this country has got to have. Now, we tried to do it, four years ago when Republicans were in control. We tried to replace the Affordable Care Act, and obviously we failed at that time. But that's going to be the big discussion. Healthcare reform and where pharmacists work into that. Because one of the things that I've tried to point out, and I continue to try to point out, is that, you know, and we're never going to be able to lower healthcare costs until we utilize all of the healthcare professions that are out there, particularly pharmacists. I mean, I've always said that pharmacists are the most overeducated, underutilized healthcare professionals out there. And that's one of the things that we've got to change. And as we go through healthcare reform, it's going to be very important that we are included because, as the old saying goes, if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. So we've got to be at the table. And that's why it's so very important for everyone to be involved. And, you know, the grassroots is the key. And I know that sounds cliche-ish. It is not. It is the truth. We've got to have grassroots support. We've got to all be involved.
Yeah, buddy. And that, you know, that 2030 future, Matt's talking about 10 years of prosperity for independent community pharmacies. We can't, there's no way we can do that if we don't have advocates for pharmacy, for independent pharmacy in positions that can get things done, like Buddy. So that leads me to the last couple questions, Buddy. We've got a presidential election coming up, and another round of Congress elections. So, how will the upcoming elections impact pharmacy?
Well, now I just said, and it's true, our issues are bipartisan. Our issues are DIR fees, provider status, all the things that we're concerned with. We need to be approaching them from a bipartisan perspective. That is important. However, having said that, I will tell you that if you will notice, the Democrats have proposed HR3, which is their healthcare reform, their drug pricing reform. They did not include DIR fees in that. They did not include eliminating DIR fees in that. Now, the Republicans, of which I am a member of the Republican Party, we had HR 19, and HR 19 is our drug pricing proposal. DIR fees and elimination of DIR fees and more transparency in the drug pricing system is a part of that, and that's very important to note. I tell you that because if you look at another bill that I think we should consider because it does have a chance of passing is what is called the Grassley-Wyden bill. That's in the Senate. Senator Grassley and Senator Wyden. Grassley's Republican, Wyden is a Democrat. That is also a bill that's being considered for drug pricing, and it does include elimination and transparency, the elimination of DIR fees and more transparency. So if you look at the two, the one truly bipartisan bill, the one and the Republican bill is bipartisan because it includes everything in it has been passed through the Energy and Commerce Committee unanimously. Everything in it has been passed through the Energy and Commerce Committee. But the HR 3 is a very partisan bill. So having said that, I will tell you it is important that we do get Republican leadership and majority back into the House, in my opinion, because it will behoove pharmacy and pharmacy issues. I don't want to overstate that because we need Democratic friends, and we got a lot of Democratic friends. We've, as I mentioned earlier, on the DIR letter that we're circulating right now, we got dozens of Democrats who have supported that. If you look at the Grassley-Wyden, remember I said Ron Wyden is a Democratic senator from Oregon. He included and agreed to include DIR fees in that. Unfortunately, Speaker Pelosi has decided not to do that. So,
yeah, that, and I know that's probably frustrating when you see something. And again, that's what I think we hear a lot on the front lines with our work with pharmacy owners and independent pharmacies is like, how much appetite is there, or how much really, not the appetite to do this, but how much room is there to work on both sides? Common ground, I think, is what you call it in politics. How much common ground is there, you know, and is that common ground enough to overcome some of the differences you guys have?
I'm glad to see that that this is a bipartisan issue and that people are fighting it, albeit a little bit differently on both sides of the aisle.
I know. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, anecdotally, a couple of our pharmacy owner clients have been reaching out to representatives, senators, to try to get them to support this, and they've found lots of support on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, Matt, we see it with our. This pharmacy transcends politics. Healthcare transcends politics. I mean, we've seen it from our perspective, and we've seen us getting a group together that don't, we don't talk politics when we get in the room because that's just not our place. But we know that they're on this side of the equation and they're on that side of the equation, and we come together and we can build a better future because it's built on this idea that we can be better, we can do better, we can provide better healthcare if pharmacies are part of the equation. So,
absolutely.
So, buddy, having you in Washington is a very important part of what we believe and what we're doing at Waypoint. How does somebody support you, and how do we get you back to Washington?
Well, I appreciate it because we do have opposition in the primary. Our primary in Georgia got moved back from May 19th to June 9th. We have two people running against us in the primary, and whereas we should be okay, I will tell you that there are only two ways to run, and that's unopposed and scared. And I would invite anyone to go to our website. It's buddycarterforcongress.com, buddycarterforcongress.com. And you'll see where you, if you want to support our campaign financially, and we certainly would appreciate that, then I would ask you to please, you can donate online. And if you could do that, we certainly would appreciate it. It is very much needed. As you can imagine, it's very expensive to run a congressional campaign these days.
Yeah. And any amount, guys, that y'all can, and ladies, that y'all can
absolutely
give, any amount helps here. This is... I'll say this. I'm not a pharmacist. Matt's not a pharmacist. Joe's not a pharmacist. I'm married to a pharmacist. So my wife, and she works at an independent community drugstore in Jefferson City, Missouri. And it's your profession, guys. It's your livelihood. We that's on the line here. We've got to have advocates and people in places that can tell our story. And I say our, I feel like I'm a part of community pharmacy. I've been doing this almost 20 years now, but tell the story of independent community pharmacy to people who maybe don't necessarily understand it. And that's what Buddy's doing.
Absolutely.
We do appreciate, Buddy, everything you're doing. Matt, Joe, we've gone about 23 minutes. Any final questions from you guys? And we'll let Buddy get on to his real work.
Nope. I just want to say again, thank you for sharing your time with us, Congressman.
Absolutely.
And all of our listeners, so we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. And Buddy,
well, thank y'all.
Go ahead, Buddy.
And Ben, if I could, just two things real quickly.
Yep, sure thing.
I cannot emphasize enough just how important it is for all of us to be involved. And, you know, you don't have to consider yourself political, but these issues are only going to get resolved if we get our message out and get it out to Congress. Now, they know where I'm at. I mean, everybody, when I see somebody, they know he's the only pharmacist in Congress. And, of course, he's going to feel that way. But getting a phone call from constituents, getting a phone call from a constituent is extremely effective. So I would encourage you, please get to know your member of Congress, whether it be your senator or whether it be your House of Representative member. Getting to know them is extremely important. Advocating for these issues is extremely important. The second thing and the last thing I wanted to mention is I want to thank you all for what you've been doing through this pandemic and for the services that you've been providing, literally risking your own health, continuing to provide healthcare services to those who need it. You are heroes right now. I say that, you know, heroes come and go, but legends live forever. Mm-hmm. And you're heroes right now, and what you're doing right now will be legendary because we could not do it without you. And I want to thank you. Our heroes right now are wearing white lab coats, and they are the doctors, the nurses, the pharmacists, the healthcare professionals out there who, again, literally are risking their own health to provide healthcare services to others. So thank you.
That is so true. Yep,
absolutely.
Thank you.
I think that's very well said. That's a great way to end it. And I don't know if that was a Sandlot reference there, Congressman Carter, or not, with the legends never die.
I like that. Yeah.
But if it was, we like it because we love the Sandlot.
So, we like baseball.
Yeah, we're a big baseball guy. So, guys, thank you so much, Congressman Carter. Thank you so much for your time. Guys, make it happen. It's our time. It's our time to shine. Let's use COVID-19 and do some good for the world. And we're committed at Waypoint to doing that with you guys. And we're going to fight like heck to make sure you guys are always remembered for the heroes that you are. So thank you again, everybody. And Congressman Carter, thanks again. We do appreciate it.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Interested in learning more about maximizing your income and living a financially free lifestyle? Contact the Income Outcome Show today to learn more about your financial possibilities and best practices in managing your money to create opportunities for lasting wealth. Go to pharmacypodcast.com under the contact section and send us a message and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thanks for listening to the Income Outcome Show, a podcast publication part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We'll be right back.